I've been interested in small structures for many, many years, just because I've always enjoyed small structures. I enjoyed my grandparents' cabin on Mille Lacs Lake. That was a little tiny thing that, you know, they lived in little houses and they were happy and it was enough. Mm-hmm. And so I've got good fond memories of being in little houses. And I've been making these little structures now for about 20 years. I don't know. I've always felt comfortable in small spaces.
Yeah. Another part of that, too, is that you've always been very interested in boats. Designing your own sailboat forced you to think about, what can I get in this space that's useful to me?
Yeah, and boats have been my passion all my life. And, you know, there's an old axiom in the boat building business. It says, big boats, big problems, little boats, little problems.
Yeah.
And I think that's true also for the size of our houses.
Yeah.
I feel like I can be a lot more creative in a smaller space. I really like to spend time designing. I think I've come up with some ideas that have been useful for other people. And, well, I've got some clients that are out there looking at what's going to come next. It's time to address the size of the structures in which we live in.
What does that mean size-wise when we say micro housing?
The shelters that I've built have been at or right around 100 square feet.
That's pretty small.
It is. It's a real popular size is 7x14. That's not for everyone.
What's some of the challenges when you think about, okay, I got something that's, let's say, 90 square feet, and I want to live there, and I want to be able to have the amenities that I need. What's the biggest challenges to fit into that space?
Where you go to the bathroom? How do you take a shower? How do you bathe? How do you get clean? In a 100 square foot house, that's difficult to do that. Well, that's going to have to happen outside. You're going to have to go to, you know, 200, 300 square feet before you can put the bathroom inside. You also need to be very careful about what's going to go in the house. It's a very intentional structure. You have to know what are the things that you own, that you need, that are essential. And so I always have customers write everything down. What do they need? From how many bowls to chairs and spoons and towels. And what can be inside? What can be stored outside? Mm-hmm. What are the seasonal changes in the number of things that would be used? It's a discussion that is important to have with a customer to make sure that that's really for them. But there are some people that definitely want to go small, maybe single, maybe a couple that doesn't mind that sort of space. There are some serious advantages, you know, in terms of heating and cooling and affordability and the length of time it takes to build it. What is a 100 square foot building cost? Materials is, you know, right around $7,000-$8,000. That's pretty affordable.
That's like a very, very well used car.
Yeah, yeah. You know? Or, you know, a good sized fish house. You know, it's small. It's very, very small. You know, I don't build numbers of things, these structures, in a calendar year. I might build one a year, but that's enough. And I get to meet some really interesting people in the process, and there's lots of interest into the future, and I'd like to see more people building them. You know, 100 square feet is just my thing. It's working with the people to find out what it is that they can really get along with. You know, how old are they? You know, young people, boy, there could be kids coming along. Do you design a house that can be added on to? Do you build a small house that can be transported? Mm-hmm. So you're living on other people's property, for instance. Is it on wheels? Is it on skids? Does it float? There's a number of factors that enter in that make small housing pretty interesting. And those that I put on wheels have the advantage of moving about. So if there's a seasonal change you'd like to make, that's not an issue. And so we've had mobile homes, RVs for many, many years. This is more permanent housing that I build, or semi-permanent housing, so it'll sit in a spot for months at a time. I don't build houses that you can take a long weekend out to Montana. They're more structured to an environment that's more than likely on private land, or the structures that I've been building for myself and Wendy have been at friends' places. For instance, there's an opportunity to stay down in Lakehead Boat Basin, where the boat storage is in the winter months. Mm-hmm. They're very reasonable rates for staying down there. And so you can find some very interesting nooks and crannies around Lake Superior. And we like being around the lake. With a movable little house, you can get some pretty nice views and spend time in some great little communities.
How about construction materials? How do they differ if you're going to build something small, like 100 square feet, as opposed to somebody building a 1,200 square foot home?
What I use are boat building techniques for construction, which is, makes them much lighter and quite strong. The use of bulkheads and laminates and bending curved roofs, these sorts of things all add to the strength of a boat. So there's a lot less waste in materials. Pieces can be fitted together. It's more labor intensive, but you come out with a nice warm, solid, laminated up a wall, for instance, with polystyrene and really good glues. You know, I'm a really big fan of good quality windows. Because you're going small, you're not spending so much money, why not put good quality materials that require very little maintenance? Mm-hmm. So you're not out there fixing things every year and replacing. You can really get the good stuff in there. And then it's, you know, measuring and being very careful. The interiors of boats that I built, I think, was good training for building the interior of a small home, because you really have to measure up the size of the people that are going to use it. And what are the activities that are going to, what is the intention of it? Is it living in it for 6 months? Is it living in it for just weekends? You know, going back to what's going to go in it. And it's a long process to mock up the interior. I think it's really important to hash this out with a partner. What's going to work for you? Because it has to work for both partners or sure. whoever else is joining you in the use of it. It's good to have that discussion because, you know, it's a bit of a dance. I mean, I always like to have passageways between one part of the trailer wide enough so two people can pass at the same time. A place for everything and everything in its place. Everything has to be measured up. You know, if you're going to be on a boat, things have to be stored. They have to be a place where everything lives. It's much easier that way. You don't want things flying around when you're on a boat, especially.
So it's a major chore for somebody who is interested in your design or somebody's design. That list that they make is pretty critical. And I imagine you have sort of a list of common things that they should think about.
Yeah. I mean, for instance, on the Gypsy Wagon, they've got 241 items.
Okay.
And then you can add another 40 items just for winter. Stuff like that. I'd like to know everything that goes in there. I mean, we've all camped. You have to make a list of things you need to go camping. Well, mm-hmm. this is just a little more extensive.
In your list for Gypsy Wagon, you say, here's the space. Here's what you're going to do in this space. Here's mm-hmm. what it allows you to do. How about the next thing, which is how are you going to heat it? If you were hauling it down to Death Valley, how are you going to cool it?
What I've been working on with this Gypsy Wagon is a polycarbonate bathhouse, which is basically greenhouse plastic. It's double wall insulated, see-through plastic that you heat the space with the sun and get temperatures up to 140 degrees in a little small 4x4 bathhouse. Couldn't hardly believe it could get that hot. I left a candle in there the night before, and it melted the candle.
That collapses down?
That all comes off, detaches from the side of the wagon, and I can fold that up, and it goes into undercarriage storage. The use of thermal solar panels is, to me, revolutionary. People are seeing the value in it. It takes a while for people to change their minds on things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the average house in America that's built today is running about a ton of waste per house. Mm-hmm. We're moving into an era of diminishing resources, and I think this is answering these questions, and it's not a fad. Mm-hmm. I think probably big homes are the fad. I think that if people could see the aesthetics involved, you know, well-done small house, I think they'd be pleasantly surprised. There's lofts that you can put in them. There's, all sorts of different custom designs that you can make to meet the needs of the residents that are going to be spending time in it. I enjoy the design work, particularly the interiors, because I think that's where I don't think quite enough thought is given. But that goes back to what's going to go in there. You know, I see probably 14 by 24, 12 by 24 as being a reasonable size, given the family, the couple, the individual. It still gives us space. I mean, here in America, we have a hard time giving up our stuff. There's the crux. I mean, there's a lot of change that has to occur in people's thinking, and I think that's going to change as resources diminish, become more expensive, energy becomes more expensive. These things are going to come to the fore.
WTIP's Environmental Stewardship Series is funded in part by the Wharton and Family Fund and the Global Awareness Fund of the Duluth Superior Area Community Foundation.